So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Welcome to the BFM Studios, Steve Newell.
Holy hell, is this what the studio looks like?
It does now.
Is this what your face looks like?
How long has it been? It's been ages.
It's 6.5 years.
Wow.
Approximately. It's great to be back. Thanks for
welcome.
Thanks for having
you sound
me.
Lovely and warm on the studio microphone, which is great.
I mean,
rather than a cold, hard phone line.
I mean, hello.
Now, hey, Steve. Man, we've been hanging out for some stuff to watch. What has been happening in the world of TV and film?
Well, let's start with TV. And I think I've probably made a plug for the show, potentially just when the new season of it kicked off. But season three, the third of what will just be four seasons of Atlanta has just aired. Episode 10, the season finale, and available for viewing on Neon along with the rest of season three. I've always liked Atlanta. It's been missing from screens for quite a long time. Season two aired in 2018, so it's been a bit of a bit of a break between drinks. I think I'm going to struggle to find something this year that I liked more than this season.
So good. I loved the first two seasons. Loved them so much. And I have not started the new season, so this is good to hear.
You know how in previous seasons of Atlanta they'd sort of be happy to just tackle a standalone episode that really had nothing to do with the main characters, and still exploring, like, you know, it's still tapping into essentially like the same set of kind of core themes of blackness and you know, a bit of a cynical worldview, I guess, at times. Mm-hmm. Season three really doubled down on that. There's probably as many episodes not about the main characters, music manager Donald Glover, his MC Paperboy, and their kind of entourage. There's probably as many standalone episodes without those folks as there are episodes with their story continuing. I think that frustrated some people on the premiere is one of these episodes. They're nowhere to be seen except in the last seconds of the episode. I think some people got a bit peeved by that because they were hanging out for more Paperboy. But reflecting back on the 10 episodes of season three, it's just superb storytelling, incredibly crafted. And while I might have felt a little bit like I was ping-ponging around and, you know, why is this episode this, why is this episode that, it's all kind of coalesced in the final episode to feel like it has been building to something. And John, you've got to get on this.
It's excellent. Is Donald Glover still the man with all the ideas, and does he write any of the episodes?
Yeah, so it's still very much the product of it's still a show led by three creatives: Donald Glover, his brother Stephen Glover, and Hiro Murai, who directs many of the episodes. They've got an all-black writers' room also contributing to the show, but yeah, you can kind of see like the same space continues to be excavated. It's slightly surreal. It's kind of scathing, and it really looks at power dynamics and race dynamics in a way that's, you know, it can turn from being very scathing about these things and very heavy to then kind of like mining them for humor that's really, really, really sudden shifts in tone.
Yes.
I don't know. I just got to say, I love it. You've got to watch it.
Excellent. Yes. Yes.
To go into details, I think, would kind of spoil what some of the season has in store. Let's not say any more. Let's just say if you haven't been watching Atlanta, watch it. If you've kind of missed it for a couple of years, hey, it's out there. Check it out. And then buckle up, because season four is also airing this year. And
nice
then that's kind of done and dusted. There will be no, I believe there'll be no more Atlanta. Although, after people got a bit snippy about the first, about this season's premiere, which was an episode about a young boy who acts up in class. His parents get hauled into school for a bit of a chat. His parents whack him, and he gets placed in foster care as a consequence. No Donald Glover, etc., to be seen. Social media got a bit grumpy. Glover wrote a tweet and deleted it that said along the lines of like, all right, we'll do one more episode, i.e. like you want your characters back. So hey, potentially there might be a bit of a, there may be some more to come, but we're kind of set up for a really thrilling final season of the show if it continues heading in this direction. Shit's wild. It's real good.
Nice. Amazing. What else? What else, Steve?
Well, from a incisive and scathing and surreal piece of viewing to a Hollywood blockbuster bordering on jingoistic war propaganda, Top Gun Maverick is also really, really, really good. Caught this this week. It opens in cinemas tomorrow. And first of all, if you like the opening credits of the original Top Gun, you'll love the opening credits of this Top Gun. If you like a bit of Tom Cruise, he's really in his element here. And I think while it's, again, kind of easy to be take a cynical view of blockbuster action movies, a bit of a cynical view of Tom Cruise himself, it just all works so well together. And that, you know, that movie star charm is undeniable and really helps bring you into this movie that's shockingly conventional in terms of its structure, but a real reminder of why classic action movies, classic Hollywood blockbusters work a certain way, and they work really, really well. You don't always need to reinvent the wheel. It's super satisfying that it's not a meta reflection on itself. It is a sequel to the original Top Gun. Tom Cruise's character Maverick is back to train a new generation of pilots, but this is not a passing the baton to a new group of people. This is not your kind of legacy sequel, cash-in IP. This is a really, really solid really, really solid military action movie.
Okay.
And the aeronautic footage in this film is incredible. So they put the cast in fighter planes, they expose them to G's, they get them to act while doing stuff in the air. It's stunning on the big screen, and you know, it's been delayed quite a few times reaching us. Good old COVID getting in the way and such, but you've got to get to a movie theater to see this.
I feel like the military action film had its peak in the 80s and 90s. I mean, what is there anything else in recent years which has really come close? There's, I mean, of course, there's The Odd One, but it seems like a genre which has sort of really dropped off in recent times.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's capable, we're capable of balancing these competing ideas in our heads, right, of kind of going, yes, America is a militaristic superpower, and that's not necessarily ideal. They do terrible things, but also it's kind of fun to watch a B-grade action movie sometimes.
So you classify it as a B-grade action movie?
No, this is actually close to a perfect blockbuster.
Yes.
This is a superb film. It's directed by Joseph Kosinski, who he previously directed Tom Cruise in the science fiction film Oblivion.
Which is good.
Yeah. And here he's directing Cruise. Christopher McQuarrie, who's Tom Cruise's writer-director for the last few Mission Impossible films, has a writing credit and also producing. So, you know, it's kind of a team that's really at the top of their game of delivering mainstream action, which I think, you know, in an era of franchises, of mining old IP, even though this
is there a bit of mining that, or is it a freshish storyline?
It's,
do you walk away going, well, I feel like I've seen that movie five times in the past?
I mean, it's training a team of youngsters to go on a mission. It's the first Top Gun, you know, but isn't that just the nature of that job as well? So there's some stuff about aging out and obsolescence. You know, we kind of see some of the consequences of what Maverick's attitude has kind of done to his career. Like, his career's basically stalled since the events of the first film. Great pilot, just bit of a dick, bit of a can't control his impulses, dude. But yeah, I had a great time. The full audience at VMAX in Newmarket loved it. Everyone was
Did
pretty
it get
fizzing
a clap?
Afterwards. It was just real fizzy. Like, everyone was really enthused.
Oh, that's good.
So, yes. Yeah, just look, it's just nice to have a reminder that sometimes the machinery works, you know, and like a lot of the things that I rewatch as kind of as classics or things mm-hmm. I enjoy from the couch were the product of the same kind of filmmaking. Maybe more mainstream films need to be good.
Mm-hmm.
hey, Hollywood. Here's a hint.
I know you've got all this budget.
Maybe more mainstream films should be good.
Spend it wisely.
Yeah, so this is probably, I think this is sort of around the 150 mil budget mark, but mm-hmm. because it was also a giant US Navy recruitment video, mm-hmm. let's not beat around the bush. They're using aircraft carriers and flying mm-hmm. real planes. Yes, it would probably be a very expensive film if you didn't have all that kit on hand.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, come for the satisfying blockbuster machinery and let yourself be blown away by how cool some of that aerial stuff looks.
All right, Steve, thanks for wandering on back up to the BFM studio.
I'll have you know I walked at pace. Mm-hmm. I did not wander, but
all right.
That's what happens when you're a little bit late, eh?
We'll see you in the flesh next Wednesday.
Bloody good. Look forward to it.
All right, mate. Thanks.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.